Bible reading this morning can be found on page 199 of your Bible. It's in the Old Testament, of course. Joshua chapter 1. Thank you. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea in the west shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses command you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, "Pass through the camp and command the people. Prepare your provisions, for in 3 days you are to cross over the Jordan, to go in, to take possession of the land that the Lord your God gives you to possess. To the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manasseh," Joshua said, "remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the warriors among you shall cross over armed before your kindred and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your kindred, as well as to you, and they too take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and take possession of it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan to the east." They answered Joshua, "All that you have commanded, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your orders and disobeys your words, whatever your command, shall be put to death. Only Be strong and very courageous. Thanks be to God.
This morning we're beginning a new series looking at the Old Testament books of Joshua and Judges. You might want to find one of these red pew Bibles at the end of your pews, pass them along, and turn page 199. If you like, we are looking at our family tree. We're delving back into our family history and see the relationship between Christianity and our Jewish ancestors. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 1 and let's pray that God would bless us this morning. Father, we are your pilgrim people. We pray that you would take us to the promised land of eternal rest with you. We pray that now by your Holy Spirit you would open your word to us, feed us, nourish us, and give us the strength to follow you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I wonder if you're an avid follower of world politics. Do you keep up with current affairs? Well, if you do, you'll know that only a few weeks ago, on December the 23rd, the United States refused to veto a United States resolution, which demanded a halt to Israeli settlements in the occupied territories. And this prompted a huge spat between the Israeli government, who said the decision was shameful, and on the other side, the outgoing administration of Barack Obama. Needless to say, Donald Trump also weighed in, tweeting, "As to the United Nations, things will be different after January the 20th. Well, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict has fueled much of the tension in the Middle East over the past 50 years. And of course, it goes back even further, back to the medieval era of the Crusades. First, the Islamic armies invaded that land, then the Christian West came in again trying to take it back. How on earth, as Christians in 2017, are we to navigate these stormy waters? What, as Christians, are we to make of this land of Israel? Well, these things are very deep in our spiritual DNA. You know the words of that great hymn, Bread of Heaven. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fear subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. What are we to make of this? William Williams put together that hymn, and he likens us to the Israelites of old. We too are a pilgrim people, needing to be fed by God as we wander in the wilderness of this world. When we die, according to that hymn, we cross over the river Jordan of death and enter the promised land of Canaan, our eternal rest in heaven. Now this morning, in just the few moments we have, there are no simplistic answers to this Middle East issue. There's no simple answer of how we are to deal with our history of the past. But for the next few months, as we're going to explore the Old Testament books of Joshua and Judges, we will see how God's people are to believe and then how they're to behave. And we'll see God's promises of salvation worked out in these stories. So this morning, we're going to simply look at, first of all, the leader, which is Joshua, and then the land, which is Israel. So first of all, the leader. Look again at our opening verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites." Now that was no mean task. At this point, Israel was hundreds of thousands of people, wives, children, old people, cattle. All this nation has got to cross this great river into this land. It was no mean feat. But if you know your Bibles, you've been introduced already to this man called Joshua. 12 spies were sent out on a reconnaissance trip. 10 came back, gave a defeatist evil report, but 2 gave an optimistic good report, Caleb and Joshua. And Joshua encouraged the Israelites, "You must believe God's promises. This is a wonderful land, flowing with milk and honey. Go and possess it." And Joshua is following in some mighty footsteps, the footsteps of Moses, here called the servant of the Lord. It was Moses who was raised up to bring God's people out of slavery in Egypt. But Moses dies, and Joshua is to take on the daunting task of leader. So he needs all the divine support and guidance that he can get. Verse 5, God says to him, and he needs to hear these words, "No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." It is the presence of God that enables him to obey the commands of God. Because God is with him, he will accomplish his mission. I wonder if some of those words have echoes of the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's Gospel. Do you remember what Jesus says as he leaves us? "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." It is knowing that God is with us, his presence with us, that makes all the difference. Now, I know there's people in this place today, and God has given you a task to do. And it might seem quite daunting. It might seem difficult, and you're hard-pressed. You may have to stand up for what is right and true, maybe at work or at school or college. Maybe you've got a difficult situation to confront in your family life, or maybe a tense relationship with a friend or neighbor. But you're not in it alone. God is with us, and he will not fail us or forsake us. And there will be times when we're absolutely at our wit's end, when life seems very hard and bleak. And we do not know which way to turn, and we've all been there. But we need to listen to these words of what God says to his servant Joshua. Verse 9, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And Joshua is a man who's also instructed to keep very tight to the law of God, God's word, to meditate upon it daily and not to deviate from it. As it says in verse 8, if you turn back to that, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it." See, this is the key to success in God's eyes. It's about faithfulness and obedience to the law of God. Now, it might seem strange for God to tell Joshua, that's your first priority, to meditate on the law. You might be thinking, well, a military manual might be quite useful. A dummy's guide to getting into the promised land might be quite useful. But he's told to meditate on the word of God in the law. God sets Joshua's priorities very clearly. This is his principal goal and objective, to keep fast to the word of God. And speaking personally for a moment, that is what I crave as an ordained minister in the church. I have no wish to be a manager, an accountant, a PR guru, or a social worker. Like Joshua, my greatest and privileged task is to lead the people of God through a faithful obedience to the word of God. Without that foundation, we have nowhere to go. Now, this is the main criteria for judging Christian leaders. Do they know God's word? Do they teach it? Are they consistent in following it themselves? And do pray for our leaders, not just myself, but the rest of the church leaders here, both lay and ordained, and in the wider church. There's so many temptations, so many things to resist. We need to hear God's word to us. Now, almost uniquely in the book of the Old Testament, Joshua gets it right. He is consistently faithful and obedient right to the end. And at the end of this book, he will also be called the servant of the Lord, just like Moses before him. And I wonder, deep down in our hearts, is that really our concern? To be found faithful to God to our dying breath, and to hear those words ringing, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." If we're honest with ourselves, is that what we want for the very end of our lives? That we've been found faithful and obedient to God? Do we seek the approval of the world or the approval of the Lord? Sometimes we have to make a choice between the two. So in Joshua chapter 1, we see the leader, but then we see the land. So verse 3 of our reading. "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea in the west, shall be your territory. Now, this land had been promised to Moses. After 40 long years of wandering in the wilderness, all that manna and quail. Can you believe that's on the menu every single day for 40 years? Manna and quail, manna and quail. There's only so many different ways you can eat manna and quail. But it goes back further than Moses. It's back to Genesis and the great promises and the covenant that God made with Abraham. That great patriarch was promised, you will have many descendants, as much as the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. You will become a great nation. You'll be greatly blessed, and the whole world will benefit from your family. And he was also promised his own land. And here in Joshua, this stage of God's plan is coming true. Now, always when we read the Bible, we need to see, where are we in this great overarching story of God's salvation? Well, here we see the plan of God's land coming to his people. Now, let me take you to 1948. Tel Aviv. David Ben-Gurion is reading out the Israeli Declaration of Independence. And let me read to you the first few words. The land of Israel was the birthplace of the Jewish people. Here their spiritual, religious, and political identity was shaped. Here they first attained a statehood, created cultural values of national and universal significance, and gave to the world the eternal book of books. After being forcibly exiled from their land, the people kept faith with it throughout their dispersion and never ceased to pray and hope for their return to it and for the restoration in it of their political freedom. Compelled by this historic and traditional attachment, Jews strove to every successive generation to re-establish themselves in their ancient homeland. In recent decades, they returned in their masses. And again, as Christians, what are we to make of this claim upon this land of Israel and Palestine? Well, I think one of the real problems comes when we start to confuse the Old Testament people of Israel with the modern state of Israel, which was founded in 1948. They're not the same thing. We cannot simply go back to the Old Testament, lift out little passages, and then apply them to modern countries today. We also need to remember that God's people today are all those who follow Jesus the Messiah, whether Jewish background, whether Gentile, and that includes many Arab Christians who are living in the land. And the New Testament tells us very clearly that Jesus is the new Israel. He embodied in himself all the faith, all the teachings of Israel. In Jesus, he is the prophet, he is the priest, he is the king. Now, the Christian experience today under the new covenant or testament is that we're not seeking after an earthly physical land. The whole earth belongs to the Lord, and in Jesus we have all the blessings we need. Now, the New Testament spells out in very different ways that we are not seeking after a physical kingdom or land. Do you remember in John's vision in Revelation? There he is, imprisoned, exiled in Patmos, and he sees a vision of the New Jerusalem. But it's not an earthly land. Where does it come from? The New Jerusalem comes down from heaven, and that is where our focus should be. 1 Peter chapter 1, the Christians are told of their inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept where? In heaven for you. So the Old Testament language of God's people inheriting a land is not a physical place. It's a new spiritual realm under Jesus Christ. Now, all this is not to say that we're not to honor and cherish our Jewish roots as Christians. We must honor that Jewish tradition. The Old Testament is the rich soil that the gospel grows out of. And we must lament that too many times there's been a strain of anti-Semitism in the church, and we must repent of that. We are to honor our Jewish roots, but we're not to confuse Old Testament Israel with a modern country today. In fact, I would go so far to say that it's great for every Christian to try to go to Israel at some point. A visit to Israel opens your eyes to the culture, the people, the tradition, the land that Jesus walked in. Occasionally come across little leaflets like this, a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And I'd love to organize a trip to Israel at some point in the next few years. But again, that's symptomatic and problematic, perhaps, even the language. Do we still believe it's a holy land as it was in the Old Testament? It's a wonderful experience to experience the solitude and silence of the Judean wilderness, to put out in a boat into the Sea of Galilee and take the Lord's Supper, to walk through the narrow streets of Jerusalem's old town, to soak up the culture really enriches our history and of reading the Bible. But did you notice something as we're reading through Joshua chapter 1? The number of times that God says that he gives the land to his people. It is his gift. God gives the land because it belongs to him in the first place. It is a divine gift, but it's always still under God's ownership. And the Israelites, if you like, were tenants in God's property. And whether or not they will remain there is determined by their faithfulness and obedience to the promises and covenant of God. And I think this can be quite helpful in thinking about who owns the land. It was never the case that the Canaanites owned it and then Israel owned it. God always owned the land. It was always his to give. And at the end of this book of Joshua, we hear very clear warnings that if Israel starts to disobey God, if they start to run after foreign gods, if they start to be immoral, to ignore the holy standards that God gives, then the land will be taken away from them. And really sadly, that is the story of the Old Testament. They do rebel against God, and the kingdom is divided. Then eventually the army of Assyria comes in, the army of Babylon, and they're all taken away into exile. God's people do become exiles in a foreign land. They broke their side of the bargain, and the land that was given is now taken away from them. And it's the very same pattern we see right at the very start of the Bible in the book of Genesis. God's people, Adam and Eve, they occupy the land of the Garden of Eden, and they're given very clear instructions. Do not eat of that tree. And of course, what do? They take the fruit of that tree, and God brings curses and judgment, and they're exiled out of the land of Eden. The garden was God's gift, but conditional on obedience to him. So what kind of people are we to be as Christians today? Well, we need to be people who know the promises of God and how this all fits together into God's mission for the world. Like Joshua, we've got to pray for our leaders to be strong and courageous at all different levels, that they'd be faithful to the word of God, even if it's unpopular, even if many people do not like it. We're not to turn from the word of God from the right hand or from the left. We're to meditate it, to store it deep in our hearts. And we're also to understand the inheritance we have in Christ, which is much more than just a physical place. Jesus is the wonderful embodiment, the fulfillment of all Israel. And there's nothing higher, nothing greater, nothing more than knowing Jesus as Lord. And let us pray that God would be with us as we seek to live for him in this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.